Welcome to another episode of the Journey Catholic Radio program. My name's Nick Weir, and I'll be taking you through the show this week. Should be a great one. We've got some fantastic stuff lined up for you on this Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. I hope you all had a fantastic long weekend last weekend and are settling back into your routines. One more week before school holidays for you parents, teachers, and students out there, but plenty more weeks of this Easter season that's celebrated in churches that follow a liturgical calendar. Like I said, we've got some fantastic content for you this week. We're going to be hearing from some of the best Catholic presenters in Australia. We've got Sister Hilda Scott from down there in Jamboree, Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy, Father Dave Callahan from the MGLs, Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love, and plenty more. Before we get into that, as always, we're going to kick off with the Gospel for this week. That's from the end of the Gospel according to John. And then we're going to hear from Father Mike Delaney. Father Mike's a fantastic priest from down there in Tasmania. He puts together some fantastic homilies for his parish. He puts them all online at fathermikedelaney.podomatic.com. Don't worry, we'll be sharing a link to his podcast on the Journey Catholic Radio program Facebook page so that you'll be able to catch up with all of his great stuff. Well, I'm going to take you through the Gospel for this week, so strap in for the ride. You're back on the Journey Catholic Radio program, here for some faith, hope, love, and life. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands, and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas. "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand, put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they are not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today is traditionally known as Low Sunday, the Sunday within the octave of Easter. In more recent times in the Catholic tradition, it's also become known as Divine Mercy Sunday. This feast has grown to be part of the Catholic tradition since Saint Faustina first promoted the devotion that followed her visions and her conversations with Jesus that began in 1931, especially since the support given to the devotion by St. John Paul II. We could devote much more time than we have available today in talking about this devotion and the part that it plays in the life of the Church, but I'd like to focus on the reading we've just listened to from John's Gospel, which highlights God's mercy and love for us, which are the themes of Divine Mercy. The reading today reminds us just how anything but ordinary the resurrection really is. The Gospel told us that the disciples were hiding from the authorities, afraid of what might happen to them. So when Jesus first appears, his words to them are words of encouragement, but then of mission. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." In order to enable this to happen, Jesus makes real the promise he had made earlier, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then, in this wonderful gift, he tells them that they are to become instruments of his mercy and forgiveness, He says, "Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those whose sins you retain, they are retained." I sometimes ponder about this. Would they have understood that these words would be words of comfort to others in future times? Whatever their immediate understanding, we know that they were filled with joy. And when Thomas rejoins them, he listens to this incredible story of the risen Jesus. But we know that he wasn't that easily convinced. He had to see for himself what would happen. He would have to touch Jesus to know if what they were saying was true. The next stage of the gospel tells us that Thomas is there the following week when Jesus reappears. And before he accepts Jesus' invitation to touch his hands and side, he acknowledges Jesus with those wonderful words of faith, "My Lord and my God." Today we're being reminded of God's incredible love and his mercy for each one of us, something that we know is anything but ordinary. My prayer for us this week is, like Thomas, we too will be able to ponder on this wonderful mystery, that we too will be able to proclaim, "My Lord and my God," and that our lives will then truly reflect God's mercy and love to all we meet.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
The gospel changes everything. The turning point in history. Even now it's changing me. From who I was, the story of my Savior calls me to the wonder of the cross. The gospel changes everything, and it is changing me. The gospel changes everything. The turning point in history. And even now it's changing me. From who I was, the story of my Savior calls me to the wonder of the cross. The gospel changes everything. God would come to rescue me from who I was. The kindness of my Savior calls me to the wonder of his love. Jesus changes everything, and he is changing me. You say,
could come.
You're listening to The Journey, great Christian radio for the whole family.
Here's Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
Blame is something with which we can be all too familiar. We blame others, others blame us for whatever, and really it gets us nowhere. We can even make scapegoats of other people so as to take the blame away, and somehow in our faulty thinking, we're sure that blame apportioned will fix things. Of course it doesn't. You'll remember in your history that it happened during the Second World War, when millions of Jews were exterminated. They were blamed. On a wider front today, we're still making groups pay, still blaming, still fixing the responsibility for our many problems on various ethnic groups, socioeconomic groups, etc., etc. And we do a pretty good job of doing it personally. At home, so often it's my parents' fault that I can't get on with life. It's my wife's fault. It's my former school's fault. Can you remember the last time you blamed someone? Sometimes, of course, it's true. We do suffer unjustly at the hands of others, and we can legitimately place blame where it fits. Children so often take on blame for their dysfunctional parents. So how can we find a way forward from this game that sometimes can consume us? I say, look at Jesus. On the cross, he took the blame for everything, just and unjust. In his book, Diary of a Country Priest, George Bernanos presents us with a country curate who's an apparent failure. He's tried to bring good to the people of his parish, and in return, he's been treated with ridicule, he's been slandered, mocked, but he never blames them. A few days before his death, he wrote, "Even from the cross, when our Lord was in agony, even then he did not own himself a victim of injustice. They know not what they do." Words that have meaning even for the smallest child. Words that some would like to call childish. But the spirits of evil have been muttering them ever since without understanding and with ever-growing terror. Instead of the thunderbolts they awaited, it's as though a hand of innocence closed over the chasm of their dwelling. A man called Anthony Ezelin once asked, "What do you suppose the damned find harder to bear, the justice of God or the sheer childlike innocence of his mercy?" There is an answer to the blame game, the example having been set by Jesus. They know not what they do. Try it yourself.
Welcome back to The Journey. Wasn't that fantastic from Sister Hilda Scott? That piece called The Blame Game, talking about when we can blame others or ourselves and the effect that has on reality. Before the break, you heard from Meredith Andrews with her song, The Gospel Changes Everything. It's great to be hearing stuff from her and stuff from plenty of other Christian artists here on the show. As we enter into the second week of this Easter season, still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, it's a great opportunity for us to reflect on the love our God has for us and the redemption he's won through his passion, death, and resurrection. So let's get on with that celebration. We're going to hear from Matt Marr with his song, Christ is Risen. Faith, hope, love, and life. You're on the journey.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely for us, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand.
Let's live the gospel with Pete Gilmore.
You may have heard a little reflection that speaks of the value of time. The final three points state, to realise the value of 1 minute, ask the person who missed the train. To realise the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided an accident. To realise the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won silver medal at the Olympics. It is indeed a thought-provoking reflection on the value of time. Some of the athletes preparing for the Olympics train for 4, 10, even 15 years for the chance at one race, as short as 9.58 seconds in duration. If you asked, they may say, "I've prepared well and done everything possible. I'm as ready as I'll ever be." We're encouraged as Christians to use our time well, and something I've discovered about the way God works in my life is an encouragement to develop virtuosity. Virtuosity is not a common word. It's often used in the sport of gymnastics, where risk and originality are highly valued. Yet for me, it has profound meaning in my spiritual life, in particular, the living out of my faith. Virtuosity is about performing the common uncommonly well. If you wish to take a gymnastics routine to the next level, the perfect 10, you must not only score high in risk and originality, but also virtuosity. Take a moment to think about this in the context of your own journey. In sport, music, and the emergence of specialists, we see numerous examples. Virtuosity has close links to the mastery of a skill. From exquisite musical performances to surgical reconstructions, from elite sporting manoeuvres to unique contributions to various areas of humanities and arts. But what of the spiritual life? Life is full of the little things. Most of our days are ordinary. And sometimes we feel we must be doing great things if we are to feel valued and making a worthwhile contribution. Yet we can find great comfort in the idea that what is required is not great things but small things with great love. For me, love in action and virtuosity are closely linked. Life is full of common moments. Taking out the rubbish, cooking meals for the family, caring for our elderly parents, travelling the same route to work. Yet all of these things can be transformed when we invite Jesus in and perform the common, uncommonly well, with great love. My encouragement for you this week is to reflect on the idea of virtuosity and how it might apply to your daily life. Performing the common, uncommonly well, with the help of Jesus and his great love.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
What can I give to you? What can I offer to a king for all the love you've shown, for all your mercy over me? I called your name, you heard my cry. God for saving me. The rock of salvation, my hope is built on nothing less. Morning by morning, how great is your faith. I called your name, you heard my cry.
You gave your life upon the cross. You saved. my soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for saving me.
Welcome back to the Journey Catholic Radio program. That was Chris Tomlin, fantastic musician, and his song, Thank You God for Saving Me. It's always great to hear stuff from Chris. He's been a giant in the Christian music scene for quite a while now, and he's put out some fantastic songs. Before that, we heard from Trish McCarthy with a new piece called Virtuosity. Really interesting word and a very interesting piece. If you've missed that, I strongly suggest you go back and listen to it. You can sign up for our e-newsletter, which will have links to all of the pieces you'll hear and all of our past shows at jcr.org.au. And you can find us on Facebook at The Journey Catholic Radio Show. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy. He's now based in southwestern Sydney, building centres, welcoming those who are unchurched or who feel unwelcome in church back into a loving Christian community. His piece is all about being called to forgive, and that is such a huge element of our Christian walk, emulating Jesus Christ in his forgiveness of us and carrying that out towards others. It's not easy, but it's who we are called to be. After him, we're going to hear a fantastic little song from Audrey Assad called Death Be Not Proud. It's not particularly long, but it is absolutely fantastic, a beautiful way to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus. Faith, hope, love, and life. Stick around. You're on the journey.
And now, inspiring you to dream, here's Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy.
A couple of years ago, Rosemary and I went on a much-needed holiday. Life was full. And if we weren't careful, we were going to make this holiday full as well. We went over to Europe. We used all of our frequent flyer points to get there. And on the very last night, we were in Barcelona in Spain, eating at a restaurant on a street. The owner said to us, be careful that there are pickpockets everywhere. Well, I placed my glasses and my mobile phone in the middle of the table, thinking, well, no one's going to get them from there. It was then that a person in a wheelchair came up to us begging for money. A Chinese man playing a traditional instrument asked for money, and then two men selling long-stemmed roses. And it was then, after all of them, that a young man, about 21, put an A4 piece of paper in front of me with something scribbled on it. He reached over the table and was asking for money. It was then that I didn't realise that he stole my phone from underneath the piece of paper. It was only half an hour later that I realised it. I immediately felt stupid. I wiped the phone. I lost all 923 contacts that I had at the time. And I felt anger toward this man who had stolen my phone whilst I was overseas. Scripture is very clear. We're to love our enemies and pray for them. It's a challenge. Losing a phone is inconsequential compared to what many people experience in life and at the hands of others. The scripture tells us that we're to forgive and love our enemies no matter what. This is what makes us different from people who do not believe in Jesus. If today you're struggling because people have done things to you, taken from you what is yours, remember that we are called to forgive and we are called to be different. Why don't you join me at thecatholicguy.com where you'll be inspired to dream.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Death be not proud, though the whole world fear. Mighty and dreadful you may seem. But death be not proud, for your pride.
When you will be no more.
Walking the walk, here's Sam Clear.
Between 2006 and 2008, I was afforded an opportunity that I'd never had before, nor have I had it since. I was walking 15,600 kilometres around the world from Brazil to Spain whilst praying for the unity of Christians. And each day, stretching from one town to the next, involved anywhere between 5 and 15 hours worth of walking. I had a lot of time to myself, to be silent. I had between 5 and 15 hours set aside for prayer each day, for 19 months. I remember a few times deciding that I was going to pray, and then, an hour later, actually saying something. I was afforded the time to just be silent before God and settle into His presence. As a result, I began to listen, not just speak. And what I had to say was never as interesting or as compelling as what God had to say to me. In fact, the most momentous stories from the walk were as a result of following God's promptings. You'd think that as a consequence, now that I'm back in Australia, that I'd be exceptionally guarded of that silent time with God. But the peaceful time with God seemed to be squeezed from my life as soon as I touched down back on Australian soil, even though I was working in ministry. The struggle to fit even 1 hour's worth of silent prayer into my day quickly reduced to trying to fit 30 minutes, then 10 minutes, and then, sorry Lord, perhaps we can spend some quality time together tomorrow. I never stopped praying during that time. I just stopped being silent. I was doing all the talking again. When Ezekiel sat in the cave waiting for the presence of God to pass him by, God wasn't in the earthquake, nor in the fire or the mighty storm. God was in the silence of a wisp of wind. Am I trying to fit God into the mold I want Him to be in? Or am I humbly submitting my time to Him, waiting on His prompting? But more importantly, simply being in His company, like two best friends enjoying a beautiful view, not needing to speak, but being content to grow in love through gentle silence. When you do get the chance later today, remember to switch off, invite the Lord to be with you, and listen. What He has to say to us is well worth waiting for. I'm Sam Clear for Walking the Walk. For more on the walk around the world for unity, go to walkforone.com.
Your love's making all things new. You're working in all for good. For the things of this world, there is hope renewed in the life that is found in you. For you make all things new. You make all things new. Yesterday and forever, your love never changing, this home never fading. Hallelujah. My faith is in things unseen, bringing life where it has not been, speaking things that are not as if they were. Yesterday and forever, your love never changed.
Welcome back to The Journey. I'm Nick Weir, subbing in for Jude Hennessy this week, taking you through The Journey Catholic Radio program. It's great to be here with you. Whether you're listening in via one of the 14 different radio stations around the country or via our podcast online, it is great to have you, and I'm so glad you could join us today. We just heard from Hillsong Worship with one of their songs, All Things New, from their album No Other Name a few years ago. Great song, wonderful for this Easter season. And before that, we heard from Sam Clear with his segment Walking the Walk, that piece all about silence. Always great to hear from Sam. He's a fantastic speaker, spreading the message of Christian unity around the country, always ready to speak to young men and women about the importance of bravery, character, and prayer. All of that, of course, based on his walk around the world several years ago now, where he would stop in at any church along the way, no matter the denomination, and ask them to pray for unity. It's always great to hear some of his stories, and always interesting to hear what he has to say based on his experience. Coming up, as we head towards the end of the show for this week, we're going to hear from Chrissy Knuckles with her song, Into the Glorious. Faith, hope, love, and life. It's great to be with you here on the Journey Catholic Radio program.
I was made for more than this world could offer me. My heart to hold true mystery. And my voice was made to fall on holy ears. My life to collide with majesty. Out from the ordinary into extraordinary. And this is a heart.
are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
Most Christians would be familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. We are possibly so familiar with this story that it has lost its shock value. The whole story begins after one of the Jewish leaders asks the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Maybe a better way to relate to the story is to ask the question, "Who is my family?" In our modern world, the word neighbor can sound like a relationship that is very distant, or at least separated by a fence, which separates my property from theirs. And so the story loses some of its power because there is still a separation. But everything changes if we ask the question, "Who is my family?" Families are strange things. We have a natural bond with people who we would not normally be friends with. We feel a need to respect them even if we don't agree with them, and to potentially sacrifice our needs, or even our own life, for them simply because they are family. This is where the real shock value of the parable comes in. Jesus is saying that your worst enemy is to be now regarded as family, that those people, those ones who are excluded by everyone, they're now your problem. What this means is that everything now becomes personal. When people walk past a homeless person on the street, they're ignoring one of your family members who is in need. When you hear people speaking badly about another person, they're insulting a member of your family. It is a difficult reality to face, and it will change the way that we see the world. But I think that this is really what Jesus was trying to do when he told the parable. I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
The life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out. You bled and you died for me there on the cross. Oh, you breathed your last as you were crucified. You gave it all for me. Hallelujah, you are a Savior. Hallelujah, you are a friend. Hallelujah, you're King forever. We thank you for the cross. In the darkness, lifeless lay the frame of the Father, Son in agony. He watched his only Son be sacrificed. He gave it all for me. Yeah, hallelujah, you are to say. Thank you for
sins are scarlet. You have made us white as snow.
Another day, another episode of The Journey. That was For the Cross by Bethel Music, featuring Brian and Jen Johnson. It's always great to hear from those guys up at Redding, California. They never fail to put out some fantastic worship music. I know Stephanie Gretzinger recently put out a new album, and it is great stuff. I highly recommend them and anyone that comes from that church. Before that song, we heard from Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. He's from down there in Canberra. His segment, The Call, is always leading us to a fuller living out of Jesus' call on our lives. His message today was all about considering who is my family. Really interesting to make connections with that parable of the Good Samaritan. And unfortunately, that's all we've got time for here on The Journey today. It's been absolutely fantastic to be with you. Jude will be back next week with another fantastic episode, Faith, Hope, Love and Life. You've been on The Journey Catholic Radio Show.
The Journey is produced by Jude Hennessy and edited by Nicholas Weir from the Office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.